This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers, we're going to start the lesson now, إن شاء الله تعالى. Samir, you should tell the people to. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Does anyone know which surah or chapter we are speaking about today? Anyone? If the first day was Surah Al-Fatiha, and the second day was Surah Al-Baqarah, and the third night was Al Imran, which surah are we on now? Surah Al-Nisa. Surah Al-Nisa. Inshallah ta'ala, again, like I said the previous nights, this is a general overview. This is a general overview of the main lessons from this chapter. And it is upon you as individuals to go back to these chapters and really try and absorb the lessons in it in detail. Surah An-Nisa. The word An-Nisa means woman. So immediately you learn from that this chapter will heavily be focusing on the woman folk. But what about the woman folk? Of course, it is their rights. And if you pay attention to the surah and try and find an overarching theme, if I can summarize Surah An-Nisa in one word, it is the rights of others. The rights of the woman, the rights of the orphans, the rights of the wives, the rights of the husbands, the neighbors. Before all of that, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Islam, we have this concept called huquq. And this concept of huquq really summarizes all of Islam. Our whole religion revolves around this, rights and responsibilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rights over you, that you single Him out in worship, that you live your life not according to your whims and desires, but according to the path Allah has set out. The Prophet has certain rights, which are covered in this surah as well. What are the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That we give him complete obedience, that we love him more than anyone else, that he comes before any human being, including your parents and your children and yourself. Then the people around us have rights, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, whether we are related to them or not. The surah, it heavily focuses on that. And it is important that you find the context of the Quran, when it was revealed and who it was revealed upon first. The Quran was first revealed upon a society that absolutely had no care whatsoever about others, and they live by the law of the jungle. In Mecca, before the Quran was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew up in a society where they didn't have many laws protecting the weak, and it was القوي يأكل الضعيف. The strong would eat the weak. Meaning, it was all about power and authority. Hence why the people that were of weaker tribes or of lower classes or deemed to be lower as it relates to their gender, they were treated awfully. And the only way you could get a semblance of respect and care was if you were from the right tribe, the right family, rich, and you were male. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just. And the religion was revealed to give rights to everybody. And that's why so many people were elevated because of Al-Islam. And it's really important as Muslims, we appreciate that this religion, it elevated everyone and gave everyone their rights. There seems to be this illusion that is being created that by people who really want to paint the worst image possible of the deen of Allah. That it is a religion that does not give the rights to others. They have this thing called human rights that they believe is greater than the rights Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the people. Allah is our creator and He's the most just. Allah is our creator and He's the most just. You cannot find greater justice than the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor greater mercy than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And man-made laws will never be able to compete with the laws of Allah jalla jalaluhu. This is something we have to burn in our minds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah by Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhan nas. Allah addresses mankind. Ya ayyuhan nas. Ittaqu rabbakum. Have piety of your Lord. Fear your Lord. Alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida, and He created you from one soul. Wa khalaqa minha, and He created from that soul zawjaha, its partner. Immediately Allah is teaching us here something. We all come from the same origin. In other words, don't you dare think you are better than your fellow man. You all come from the same place. You all share the same father. You're all human beings. Like the Prophet ﷺ reiterated in his final his farewell sermon, كُلُّكُم مِّنْ آدَمْ وَآدَمُ مِّنْ تُرَابْ. The Prophet ﷺ said there is not, an Arab is not better than a non-Arab, and a black man is not better than a white man, nor vice versa, and all of you are equal, and the most virtuous among you is the one that has the most piety. This was entrenched into our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's telling us, fear your Lord that has created you from one soul. And from that many men and women came, it is reminding you, don't you dare think that you are better than anyone else. Immediately here, you have a form of social justice forming, which is equality, and that one is not better than the other except by virtue and piety. Allah then says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Allah says again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Allah. الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Fear Allah, because you use Allah's name to ask each other. You say, by Allah, give me, by Allah, give me. Well, the same Lord whose name you use when you want something, fear Allah. Then Allah says, وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah regarding your relatives. Immediately Allah is teaching us here, your relatives. Why? Why is it important that we remember that? Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Indeed, Allah is ever watchful over you. Allah is saying to us, don't you dare disregard anyone else's rights. And I'm about to teach you, Allah is saying to us, the rights of others. Remember that if you transgress upon them, Allah is watching you. And then immediately Allah starts speaking about the rights of a particular group. And this group is heavily focused on Islam. وَآتُوا الْيَتَامَى أَمْوَالَهُمْ. Give the orphans their wealth. Immediately, the first thing Allah speaks about is the orphans. The orphans are probably the people that need support and help the most. And there is so much virtue of supporting and taking care of the orphans. My brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who sponsors and takes care of an orphan, him and the Prophet in Jannah will be like this. If you ever get an opportunity to support orphans, to give charity to orphans, in fact, subhanAllah, we talk about supporting them and giving them money and taking care of them, sponsoring them, and there's great reward in them. But one time the Prophet ﷺ said, do you want your heart to become soft? Do you want your heart to become soft? Do you guys know what that means, a soft heart? A soft heart is one, when you hear the Quran, it moves you. When you are reminded of Akhirah and the hereafter, you get concerned and worried. That you are able to cry out of fear of Allah. That you're able to cry out of love and yearning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you're able to worry and be concerned over your sins. That you are not heedless, but rather focused. You have a heart that is soft. We all need that. What the Prophet ﷺ said is very fascinating. He said, If you want your heart to be softened, أطعم المسكين. Give food to the poor. وامسح على رأس اليتيم. And wipe the head of the orphan. Subhanallah. Something as simple as wiping the head of an orphan, the Muslim said, will soften your heart. In Islam, there is such focus on kindness to others, and that when you show that kindness to others, it reflects back to you. May Allah soften our hearts. Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, if you're fearful that you cannot be just to the orphans, now then marry whoever you want from the woman folk, 2, 3, or 4. And if you're worried that you cannot be just, then only one. There's a lot to be unpacked in this ayah. But what Allah was talking about here is, in the Prophet's time, what would happen is, a man would become in charge of a relative's daughter. Right? And now she is his ward in his home. He's taking care of her. Right? And what they do is, they would raise them. And then later on, they would marry them. And when they married them, they would not give them any rights. And they would say, I'm not going to give you anything. Because no dowry, no nothing. Because I spend on you anyway. And they would deprive them of their rights that they would otherwise have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't do that. And if you want to get married, marry whoever you want, but make sure that you're protecting the people that you are in charge of. And then Allah says you can marry 2, you can marry 3, and you can marry 4. This concept is known as, of course, ta'addud or polygamy. So a man is allowed to marry up to 4. But then Allah says something very important. By the way, a man is allowed to be married up to 4. This is in our deen. If anyone, man or woman, thinks this is a bad idea, you're saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws are bad. And but by just thinking that or saying that, you've left Islam. You left Islam. Anyone, and this is very important, anyone that doubts the wisdom of Allah is not Muslim. It's not Muslim. Anyone that, even, and you're not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws are supreme. If you don't believe that, join another religion. We believe that Allah's laws are supreme. Now, if someone wants to understand it better, explore its wisdoms, how should we apply it, that's fine. But what's non-negotiable? That this is wisdom. And this is righteous. Some of our sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our sisters and our women folk, they don't like for their husbands to marry a second or a third. Is that okay? That's perfectly fine. For them to personally not want that, that's fine. And that's something they will have to figure out between them and their husbands. Can they believe it's wrong? No. Why? Because if it's wrong, Allah would not have legislated it. If it's wrong, Allah would not have legislated it. So it's important, even when they're speaking about, they should say, I personally, in my life, would not like this. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's unwise. But I'm saying that it will be difficult for me. I will struggle with it. Does that make sense? Especially for our sisters, they need to understand this. You have to be able to distinguish between what's right in the laws of Allah and in the eyes of Allah, and what can work for you. Because at the end of the day, this is something that is just allowed. And in fact, the scholars of Islam would differ over this. They would say, is marrying more than one mustahab? Is it recommended? Is it allowed? Or even discouraged? And you have a variety of opinions. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi would say, because there is a golden rule. If you're the kind of man that wants to have several spouses in Islam, then you have to be able to be just between them, because Allah will hold you accountable. You have to be just between them. And Imam Shafi'i argued, justice is not easy. Justice is not easy. Are you ready to be held accountable on the day of judgment? You're already struggling with your own sins and your own problems. And then to be held accountable on the day of judgment, you marry these 3 women and you were not fair between them. And then that could result in you being condemned to the fire. He used to say, if you're going to do it, you better be ready for the responsibility. And most of us, by nature, are not just. So he would say, you rather avoid it. But that's just one sheikh's opinion. That's Imam Shafi'i. I love Imam Shafi'i. I'm a Shafi'i myself. Hafidhullah. But that being said, there were other scholars that used to say it's encouraged. Meaning there is a variety of opinion. But the one thing they all agree on is, it is allowed generally, ask for specific individuals, the ruling will change based on your circumstances. If you're someone that is not able to be just, it's not recommended for you. If you're someone that cannot afford it, it's not recommended for you. If you're someone that is barely sustaining one, it's not recommended for you. But as a general rule, what do we say? Any law that Allah, anything Allah allowed, there's wisdom in it. There is wisdom in it. And even just from a purely mathematical point of view, there's increasingly more women than men. Which means that if men only marry one, there will be many women that will not find a husband. And there are also other reasons to marry. Sometimes a woman needs that support. She may be a widow and she's looking for a husband. She may be someone that cannot bear children and men are avoiding her. But if then someone has a rahmah on her and marries her, there's plenty of reasons to do it. That being said, look what Allah says here. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. If you're fearful that you cannot be just, فَوَاحِدَ. Just marry one. Who said this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to keep that in mind, inshallah ta'ala. Of course, we're talking about it from a dini and religious perspective. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدَقَاتُهُنَّ نِحْلَةً. Immediately Allah goes for the right of the woman as relates to the dowry. Give the woman her dowry. The dowry is her haqq. I have seen many men that either don't give the dowry or only give a portion of it or deny it. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dowry is the woman's right. And if she names it, and whatever she names, if you agree, you have to give it to her. You can negotiate beforehand, but after the nikah, you have to give her what was agreed. And what's fascinating is, the dowry does not have an upper limit. Is it halal for a woman to ask for her dowry to be £1 million? Is it halal? Maybe not the most barakah, but it is her choice. She can declare what she wants. She can declare what she wants, which is amazing, by the way. Which is amazing, by the way. Subhanallah. Just not too long ago, I was giving support to a sister who reverted, and I was explaining to her rights in Islam. She couldn't wrap her head around the dowry. She said, wait, I can name anything? You can name anything. Anything, anything. No limit, no limit. Of course, if you name a high price, the man might not marry you. But it's ajeeb, wallahi. But this is, again, to take care of the woman folk. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued speaking about the orphans again. And then inheritance. The inheritance for the woman, most societies would not allow women to inherit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ. In other words, men have a portion of the inheritance, women have the portion of inheritance, it's non-negotiable. مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرُ. Whether you have a small amount of money that you're inheriting or a large amount of money that you're inheriting, everybody must get what they have been given. And what's fascinating is, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when it comes to inheritance, it is not left to mankind to decide who gets what. Me and you don't get to decide. If you're at the death's door, you don't have an opinion on how much your son or your daughter or your wife gets. It's already been pre-decided by who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah is just. You may have a certain liking towards some family members and a dislike towards other family members. If it's left to you, you'll be like, okay, my brother definitely gets nothing. You know, maybe you had some problems with your dad. May Allah have mercy on our fathers. And you're like, you know what? No, this. You would commit injustice. So Allah, knowing the nature of mankind, said, no, you just die. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Meaning what? Allah decided. So it's pre-decided. It's pre-decided who gets what. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just and we cannot go against Allah's will. Then Allah tells us, tilka hududullah. These are the limits of Allah. Allah set these. You cannot go against it. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلُ جَنَّاتٍ. If you obey Allah and His Messenger, you will enter into Jannah. So already we covered so many rights. We covered the right of the woman to be given her dowry. We covered the right of the orphans and the protection of their wealth. We covered that you're allowed to marry more than one, but only if you're able to be just between them. If you can't be just, and many of us will struggle to be just, then only one. Then Allah tells the right of inheritance, and men and women get inheritance, and Allah pre-decided how much each one will get. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued speaking about different rights, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the responsibility of men and women as caretakers of their homes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضُمْ عَلَى بَعْضُ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. That men are the maintainers of their households. Men are the maintainers and they the ones responsible for the households. This is something that's entrenched in our deen, that the men lead the household. The men lead the household. It is their responsibility and their burden. It's a burden. a lot of people, when they're talking about this, they see it as, yes, the man leads. But it is a burden. Allah will ask you about it. It is important that the spouses and the wives, they really support their husbands in this. And that the men fulfill their leadership. And leadership can only be fulfilled if you have two things. A man willing to lead, a woman willing to follow and support. A man willing to lead, and a woman willing to follow and support. You can't have two leaders in the household because you will clash. You cannot have two leaders in the household, you will clash, and that is detrimental to everybody in the household. And this responsibility Allah will ask you about, take it as an important responsibility, my fellow brothers. And again, authority and leadership does not mean dictatorship. Authority and leadership does not mean dictatorship. Lead by example. Lead with religion. Lead with deen. Lead with love. But be a leader in your household. Allah mentions one of the reasons why. Because the virtue Allah has given men and because of the money that they spend on their household. Here you learn something else, which is, as a man, you need to spend on your home. There's no such thing as, I'm not going to spend. If you work, you need to spend. Whatever money you have, you need to spend on your wife and your children. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned an ayah 36, a very important ayah, ayah 36 of Surah An-Nisa. This ayah is called Ayatul Huquq, the ayah of rights. Allah spoke about the most important right. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah alone and do not give Allah any partners. That's the first and most important right. The one that you can never, ever, ever mess with is this one. Worship Allah alone and do not commit any shirk. May Allah protect us from shirk. Say ameen. Then what? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And especially be dutiful to your parents. After Allah mentions his right, he always follows it up with his parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And here Allah says, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Be especially kind and dutiful to your parents. My brothers and my sisters, your parents are a gateway to Jannah. Your parents are a gateway to Jannah. Your parents are a gateway to Jannah. Make sure that you benefit from that. If they are living, make sure that you are doing your best to show them kindness and dutifulness, and you help them in any way you can. And remember to stay connected with them, because wallahi, they are your source of Jannah. If they've passed away, they can still be your source of Jannah. Make dua for them often. Remember them in your salah. Remember them in your sujood. Make dua for your parents. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى. And your relatives. A true Muslim, a Muslim that knows the rights of others, is connected with his relatives. You have cousins and second cousins, uncles and aunties. Be connected with your relatives. وَلْيَتَامَى. The orphans. Allah mentions the orphans. I want you to help count with me how many we have. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have وَبِالْوَالِدِينِ إِحْسَانًا. The parents. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى. The relatives. وَلْيَتَامَى. The orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. The poor people. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Your neighbor that is related to you. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ. Your neighbor that is not related to you. Muslim or non-Muslim, doesn't matter. وَالصَّاحِبِ الْجَنْبِ. The one that is next to you or near you. And the scholars, they say this could be the one that's traveling with you, the one that works with you, the one who's married to you, the one that's close to you, whoever they may be, in whatever context. وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ. And the travelers. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. And those whom your right hand possesses. In the past, that would be anyone that had servants and slaves. And now, anything that your right hand possesses means anything that you have complete authority over. Anything that you have complete authority over. Some even say, nowadays, you can look at it from the fact that if you have a company, although you don't have complete authority over them, you do have, while they're your employees. Those, be very careful that you do not oppress or transgress or not give the right of those who you have authority over. Some say this could be the animals that you are in your care, because they cannot speak for themselves, whether they are pets or animals. All of these that are things that are in your care or people that are in your care, make sure that you are giving them your right. In Allah la yuhibbu man kana mukhtalan fakhura. So here, you learn all the different people. As you notice, the surah, it's all about giving other people their rights. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he tells us the consequences of the worst, worst transgression. In Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih. Wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha' wa man yushrik billahi faqad iftara ithman 'azima. In this ayah, ayah number 48, Allah talks about the one sin Allah does not forgive. In Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih. Allah does not forgive if you commit shirk and you die upon that without repenting. And he forgives everything else besides that. Now this ayah, should it worry you or should it make you joyful? It depends on how you look at it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to say this is one of the ayahs that make me the most happiest. Because Allah is telling us that outside of shirk, everything else can be forgiven. Meaning, check yourself. If you have not committed shirk, you're in a really, really good place, and Allah can forgive any sin. So never, ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and it is again about the rights of Allah, His Messenger, and those that are in charge of you. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ati'u Allah, obey Allah. Ati'u Allah, obey Allah. Wa ati'u Rasul, and obey the Messenger. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ and those that are in charge over you. What does أُولِي الْأَمْرِ mean? We know what it means to obey Allah, and we know what it means to obey the Messenger. By the way, obeying the Messenger is so important. And the obedience of the Messenger is not connected to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, everyone else that you have to obey, whether it's parents or those who are in authority, you only obey them in that which is good. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had full obedience. I'll give you an example. One Sahabi was praying Salah. He was in Salah. And then the Prophet said to him, come here. The Prophet called him. He continued praying. Many people's instinct would be, yeah, that makes sense. He's in Salah. He's worshipping Allah. Why would he have to finish his Salah then go to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And that companion, that's what he did. He continued praying. And when he finished his Salah, he went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what kept you so delayed? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I was praying. Ya Rasulullah, I was praying. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah says in the Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. O you who believe, respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. Every time the Prophet speaks, he's giving you life, meaning he's giving you spiritual life. The Prophet's obedience was you have to obey him regardless of what he says, regardless of what it is. That's the obedience of the Messenger. Anybody else, their obedience is as long as it doesn't go against Allah and His Messenger. Is that clear? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِن تَنَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ if you disagree on something, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ take it back to Allah and His Messenger. How do we take something back to Allah and His Messenger? By taking it to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of a messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah continued about something really, really important. As you are talking about the messenger, there's a very important ayah. And this ayah is a test of your faith. And your iman. Each one of us, what do we say here? We believe in Allah. We believe in the messengers. We wouldn't be in this masjid if we didn't believe. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah about obedience and believing and following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Allah says, by your Lord, O Muhammad, they do not believe. They do not believe. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ until they take you as a source of ruling when they disagree. In other words, they have not truly believed until they come to you with their disputes and their disagreements and they allow you to be the one that says this is right and this is wrong. In other words, for us, we can't go directly to the messenger. We can go to his sunnah, meaning we have not truly believed. If we don't go back to the Prophet's sunnah, when we disagree, is this right or wrong? Halal or haram? If your first instinct isn't, I am going to go to the messenger's statements, then you haven't truly believed. Is that enough? Is going to the sunnah enough? It's not enough. What do you mean it's not enough? Allah says, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَا قَضَيْتَ It's not enough that you say, okay, Sheikh, tell me what the deen says and I'll follow it. No. Allah says, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَا قَضَيْتَ And then they do not find any issue with the rulings that you've given them. Not only do you have to go back to the Prophet, you have to be completely fine with it, regardless of what it is. If you're in the wrong, you're in the wrong, you accept it. If there is something inside of you rejecting it, if you're unhappy with it, if you're frowning, if you're not submitting to the laws of Allah and His Messenger, then you haven't really believed. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ This ayah should scare us. True belief means submission, that you're completely happy with it. You'll have someone, they'll come to a sheikh, they say, Sheikh, I don't know, is my marriage still intact or not? I've divorced my wife a gazillion times. Subhanallah, is my marriage still intact or not? And then you say, your marriage is not intact, they're not happy with it. Or you say, Sheikh, I established this business and it's going right, but can you check if it's haram or halal? And the numbers are done, oh no, this is haram business. Is it though? ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا. Regardless of all of this, complete submission. Allah said, وَيُسَلِّمُوا, and they submit, تَسْلِيمًا, a true submission. The same submission we came across in Surah Al-Baqarah, which Prophet was the example of submission. Prophet Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So here you learn about the rights of the Prophet ﷺ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and he talks about different types of rulings. Again, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ, whoever obeys the messenger, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ, he has truly obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about going back to the scholars and its importance. وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَيُرُدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ, if they would go back to the messenger. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ, and those that have authority over them, the scholars, لَعَلِمُهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَ مِنْهُمْ, then they would know, they would find the true knowledge and being able to exercise from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues. So this is the surah of huquq and rights. So among the rights that are mentioned here is the right of life, the right of life, and the sin of murder. Allah mentions, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا خَطَأً, a believer will never kill another believer except by mistake. And then the rulings of, if you do kill someone by mistake, what will happen, and the expiation. And then they're one of the scariest ayahs in the Quran as it relates to murder. May Allah protect us from ever taking a life, an innocent life. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا, whoever kills a believer, مُتَعَمِّدًا, on purpose, فَجَزَاءُهُ, then his reward, is جَهَنَّمْ, the hellfire, خَالِدًا فِيهَا, he will abide in there, وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah's anger will be upon him, وَلَعَنَهُ, and Allah will curse him, وَعَدَّ اللَّهُ, and prepared for him is عَذَابًا, a punishment عَظِيمًا, that is great. Subhanallah. For our young people that think it's okay to carry knives around, to live that life, Allah is saying that if you do that, Jahannam is waiting for you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued speaking about the importance of verification. One of the things that would happen when the Sahaba would go to war is that they would not, there was an incident where they were not careful, and that they attacked people that were actually Muslims because they were not careful in checking and verifying, or people that were not attacking them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they have to be extremely careful. And there is actually a famous incident that happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Usama ibn Zayd, as well as Khalid ibn Walid, where they were in war, and then they killed someone by accident. Someone was attacking him, and attacking the Muslims, and killing them. And then Usama found him, and the man dropped his sword and said, I believe. Usama was like, yeah, you're right. He killed him. The story was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usama bin, jazakallah khair, akhi, sallu ala nabiyikum. When I mentioned the Prophet, sent salat upon him. Now, most people's reaction would be, that person was clearly lying. I mean, 10 seconds ago, he was killing the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's clearly just scared. So his statement of la ilaha illallah, he's probably saying it out of fear. That thought process was the thought process of Usama bin Zayd. But when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, ya Rasulullah, he only said it because he was scared of my sword. The Prophet said, did you cut open his heart to know if he meant it or not? أَشَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبِي. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so bothered, and he kept on saying, أَقَتَلْتَهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Did you kill him after he said, لَا إِلَهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ? Did you kill him after he said, لَا إِلَهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ? Usama said, I felt so ashamed that I wished I became Muslim that day. Why would he say that? Because when you become Muslim, your previous sins are forgiven. It shows you the virtue of the statement La ilaha illallah, and that's something that you don't really play around. The surah continues, my brothers and sisters, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about many other rights, including the husband and the wife and reconciling between them, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions if the woman folk, they are scared of that their husbands are not fulfilling their rights or committing nushuz, then what they should do, and that there's no harm in reconciling and coming together. Another ayah, Allah says, وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ, truly reconciliation is good. So the importance of getting two people in and fixing our household whenever that is possible, and of course the danger of falling into oppression and oppressing others. And then the surah at the end, it goes back to the issue of the woman, for again, يَسْتَفْتُونَكَ فِي النِّسَاءِ قُلُ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِيهِنَّ وَمَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ فِي يَتَامَى النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِي لَا تُؤْتُونَهُنَّ مَا كُتِبَ لَهُنَّ وَتَرْغَبُونَ أَن تَنكِحُوهُنَّ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الْوِلْدَانِ وَأَن تَقُومُوا لِلْيَتَامَى بِالْقِسْطِ. Here Allah immediately in ayah 127 goes back to what we started in the beginning, which is the woman folk, be just to them, be kind to them. The orphans, be just to them, be kind to them. Do not keep them in your homes like they used to do in the past, and then do whatever you want with them and not giving them their rights. And then it continues where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about standing up for truth and justice, even if it's against yourself. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, kunu qawwamina bil qist, be people that stand up for truth and justice. Shuhada'a lillah, witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walau ala anfusikum, this is really important, even if it's against yourselves. You were driving, you hit something, you hit someone's car. You have a choice to drive away quickly, no one sees you. You're learning here that justice dictates that you stick around. That you stick around, that you leave your number, that you are just, even if it's against yourself, in any situation or scenario that you're in. Awil walidain, even if it's against your parents, wal aqrabina, your relatives. Allah is teaching us here that when it comes to justice, justice is blind. Justice is blind. This is Islam. Islam isn't that when it is my relative, I will bend the rules. Islam is true justice. Wallahi, this is important. If we do not start living up to the rules of Islam, every single day that we don't, you know what we are doing? We are ruining the images of Islam by our actions. Imagine the non-Muslims saw that we are the most just people. They would at least say, you know what, those Muslims, whatever you say about them, they are people of justice. Because that's what our deen teaches us. Ikhwani fillah, the ayats, they continue, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the rights of, there are many ayats that speak about the Prophet's message, the risalah, and of course you cannot speak about rights without it revolving around the greatest right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, those that went against the rights of Allah. The surah, Surah An-Nisa, towards the end also speaks about Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and Prophet Isa's resurrection, Prophet Isa's supposed crucifixion, and how the Ahlul Kitab went into extreme with regards to Isa. Now, if someone asked you, if the surah is about rights, what does Isa have to do with it? Answer being, if you deify Isa, you're going against the rights of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the moral and the lessons that we are learning here. The last ayat of the surah go back about inheritance, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, they will ask you about the kalala. Kalala is an individual who has no parents and no children. How will they inherit? And Allah speaks about the inheritance, and specifically how the woman folk in his family, his sisters, will inherit him, and how that is something that needs to be safeguarded. And finally, Allah says, Wallahu bi kulli shayin aleem. Allah is knowledgeable of all things. Allah knows what you're doing. Allah knows when you're fulfilling your rights. Allah knows when you are not. May Allah allow us to be among those that fulfill all of the rights. So if I had to summarize the surah in one word, Surah An-Nisa is about the fulfilling of the rights of all. May Allah make us among those. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.